Good morning, you guys. My name, like she said, is Mariette, and it's a big privilege for me to be here with you today. And I just want to start off by saying that it's funny how there's truth and there's lies. And I just love speaking about the truth because the truth gives life and the truth gives us freedom. And I love exposing lies. I get such a kick out of it. I love it. It makes me happy. So I just want to say, number one, that it's a big privilege for me to be here before you today, not because we 30 people, and it wouldn't have been a privilege because there were 30,000 people. It is an absolute privilege, number one, for me to belong to Jesus Christ. That is a truth. It is an absolute privilege for me to be allowed, I'm allowed to speak about Jesus Christ to you today. What an absolute privilege. Me and my dad were speaking last night, how incredible those 21 young men that were beheaded because of their faith in Jesus now in this past week, and how wonderful it is for me the fact that they didn't deny Jesus. They just stuck to the end. They said, I'm not turning away from this King who died for me, who paid the price. So that's why it's for me an absolute privilege to stand here and I can speak to you about Jesus. This is not like something that, oh, you have to do that now, they've asked you, now you're doing it, oh, you're going to give it your best. I count it as a joy, number one, to belong to God, and number two, for each one of us, the fact that we are allowed to speak to our colleagues, to our neighbors, like he was saying, to speak to our friends and family about Jesus, it's a voorreg, that's a privilege, it's not a right. So I'm just quickly going to pray for us again. Lord, I just commit my words, Lord, and each truth, God, that you reveal to me in my heart. Thank you that you are the revealer of truth. I can reveal nothing, God. Man can reveal nothing. You said it's only by your Spirit, Lord, that we can say that Jesus is Lord. So thank you, Spirit of God, that you take the reins and that you come and minister to our hearts. Lord, we are hungry for you, God. We are hungry for your truth. And we just say we are open, God, to come and receive from you in this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. So, it was a big privilege for me a while ago when I was sharing to you about the basics for me about following Jesus, and today we are building on that, and the question is, why do we testify? Why testify? Quickly turn to your neighbor and ask them, why testify? If you want, you could do it in American TBN accent. Why testify? With a little finger key. Okay, so basically, each one of us, when we say yes to Jesus, it's because he opened our eyes and we could say yes to Jesus. We don't say yes because, oh, it's the right thing to do or somebody tells us to do that. We can only respond to God's invitation when his Spirit comes to show you, wait, this is the truth. Okay, so as soon as you respond to Jesus, you have a testimony. Your testimony has been started forming inside of you. And when the testimony is inside of us, yes, the outflow, things change around us when we start walking with Jesus, but the testimony, it happens here on the inside. And when we have a testimony and we stand with our arms like this, and we keep it on the inside, the world around us that is hungry, so that which happened in our heart can happen in that person's heart, but we're keeping it like this, we're actually keeping it from them. But God is really good and he is gracious. And today we're just going to speak about what are those things that lets our arms do this. What are those things and how can the Spirit of God come and help us? Because God's not an angry God. He doesn't come with a stick. He doesn't say, I'm so disappointed in you. I can't believe you haven't shared your testimony with 14 people this week. Sure. No, he says, come on. My heart is sad for the places where you miss out because I've created you with a testimony to encourage and testify to certain people. But come on, let's look at what we can do. Turn from that. Here's the way out. Just, y'all, on that note, the enemy speaks in that way. He pretends to be God. It brings condemnation, saying, oh my word, shocker, I can't believe, this is what you did wrong, pretending to be the Holy Spirit, the Word of God says. But how do we know the difference between it, when an accusation is God and when it is the Holy Spirit? God doesn't accuse. The enemy accuses. The Holy Spirit says, oh, that was wrong. Put down that bottle. Put down that thing. But here's an exit. Here's an escape. He will always give you something else. He will always give you another opportunity where to turn from. Then we know it's the Holy Spirit. But when we feel bad about the things that we do, but the thought of what happened, just it's like a downward spiral, just goes down and down. then you know that's the enemy condemning you. So today, I just believe God says he wants to awaken our heart and open up our arms so that we can, that which he has done in our heart, he wants to go and further finish what he's done in our hearts, but he wants to hand it out. So the definition of testimony, according to Oxford Dictionary, is to give evidence. It's just the next slide. It's to give evidence as a witness in a law court, to serve as evidence or proof that something exists or is the case. So even if you don't believe in Jesus, according to Oxford, when we testify, we give proof of the existence of something. This is now the secular world that says when somebody gives a testimony, they give proof of the existence of something, the evidence of the things unseen. Hebrews speaks about our faith. Now, what is a godly testimony? What's a kingdom-orientated testimony? That's when we give proof of the existence and the glory in the heart of Jesus Christ. That's when we give proof who the Holy Spirit is, who God is, and who His Son Jesus is. So each one of us, we've got an opportunity every day, whether it's this little or that large, to give proof to people that are on their way to eternal condemnation. We can give them proof of God, of His existence, of the heavenlies, because of our testimony. Every day, maybe it's not an unbeliever, maybe it is a believer, but every day we can give them proof of encouragement. We're going to speak about that now, just how when we testify, that brings encouragement for other people. So that's what a testimony is. And now the next question I've got is, what happens when we testify? I've just answered that. We give proof of the Father, the Son, Holy Spirit. But there are different types of testimonies. There's something you experienced yourself. God did a healing, your salvation. You were encouraged one day. There's testimonies of somebody else. So you often, I'll be in a situation and someone will be sharing something with me, and then the Holy Spirit will just remind me of a testimony in that area. I'm not married with kids yet, but sometimes I will speak to people and there will be a difficult situation, and immediately the Holy Spirit will bring to mind a testimony of someone else that is married with kids. And I can say to them, sure, but you know what happened to my best friend? Her and her husband were praying, and this and this is God, how God delivered and how God came through. And then we can encourage with our own testimonies. We can encourage with other people's testimonies. And something else I want to say about a testimony is what it basically is. It's a true story. It's a true story. And all of us, the whole time, the whole day, we're telling stories. Your husband comes home, you're like, listen, this is what happened today at work. She was walking with a coffee and it spilled all over, and that is what happened. Or you can say to your friend, you phone your friend after the rugby and you're like, did you see that? No, I quickly ran to the bathroom. What? Let me tell you. This is what happened. Lady Balsun took a pass and that's what they did with it. The whole time, all of us, every day, we tell stories. Testimony is when we tell the story of what God has done for us and what He's busy doing inside of us. There's healing testimonies. There's the testimony of provision. So there are different types of testimonies. And we trust the Holy Spirit to show us when we testify one. What we testify. Sometimes I will stand and I will chat to someone and they will speak to me about the fact that they're depressed or they're on pills or they're trying to get off of the medication. And then immediately just into my mind, it pops without effort. Oh, yes, I'm so excited then. And I say, listen, I was on antidepressants for 4 years and God healed me. I'm completely off of it. And I was on three times the dosage of when I started, when I finished. So I didn't wean off, and then I decided, wait, I'm going to, God completely healed me of that. So then I testify of that. But sometimes someone will say, hey, Mariette, it's an outreach. You've got an opportunity for testimony. Then it's maybe not immediately that obvious. I'm going to testify of that. But then I just ask the Holy Spirit, which testimony do you want me to share? Healing, salvation. And every day, you guys, when we are in conversation with people, I really want to encourage you on this. When I chat to people, I testify to people a lot. I really do. But I've grown in sharing my testimony. I've grown in hearing the voice of God, when to share what. But this I want to share with you because I realize not everybody knows this. when we chat to people and you know, oh, it's a new friend, maybe they don't know Jesus yet, or maybe you know the fruit of their life and you realize that they're not walking in intimacy with Jesus, I literally sit there and chat to them, and I'm just interested in them. I just extol belong, and I just love them, because that's what love means, is you're interested when you meet somebody new. You don't shake their hand and go, oh, that's nice. Love is when you're just plain basically interested. And when I chat to them, I wait. I wait on the Holy Spirit. I'm like, where's my gap? I know you've got to give me a gap. I wait. So without like turning away from them, scallopies praying in tongues, yes, I'm listening. I am still looking at them in the eye. I'm smiling in my heart. I'm just saying, Holy Spirit, where's the gap? What is it you're wanting to do? And then God will each time take the conversation to a place where I can share a testimony, give them proof and evidence of Jesus. Proof and evidence that what he has done, he wants to do and can do for them. Because that's what we do when we testify. We give somebody else hope and we encourage them. Hey, what he's done for me, he can do for you. What he's done for my daughter, for my son, for my father, he can do for you. A while ago, I was driving and I got a phone call and I pulled it off of the road. This girl that I've met once, I've met her twice. We've chatted and prayed together once. Not because we met to chat and pray. She's a gospel singer and we were chatting about an outreach. But during that time, I was testifying how the Lord like healed my father and kept him safe. And in detail, I shared the testimony with her. And then she phones me on this day. And she phones me and she says, Mariet, I need to tell you something. And I'm like, yes. And she says, recently my dad was diagnosed with like a very hectic sickness. And they gave him just a few days to live. And we were at hospital and they said, come say goodbye to your dad. And the whole time I was hearing your words, I was hearing your testimony, just saying, but speak life, just speak life. And she said, I don't receive these words. Jesus, I come before you and I declare that my dad will live and not die. He will live and not die, like it says in God's word, that scripture. And she was praying over him. And a day or so later, they say to him, oh, this is strange. Let me get it from my facts, because the Holy Spirit only reminded me now of this testimony. They said if he comes out of his coma, he will definitely have brain damage. And they were calling to come say goodbye. And she was just saying, Lord, in the name of Jesus, he's not going to die now. And then miraculously, he gets out of the coma. And then a few days later, completely sane, no brain damage at all, he walks out of the hospital because her and her family were just praying. And she said the whole time she heard my voice, I said, no, the whole time you heard the Holy Spirit. He just most of the time uses our voices. And she was just, and I was screaming on the phone going, what? How awesome is the Lord? How awesome is the Lord? I phoned my dad immediately saying, this is what God has done through a testimony, what he's done in your life. But that day when I was chatting to her, I can't remember like what made me share the testimony, but the whole time, you guys, when we chat to people, focus on the Holy Spirit. Like, and just focus on loving that person, because if your heart desires to love somebody, there's no way God doesn't want to give you encouragement for them. There's no way, like, God, that's God's heart. So we're actually just saying, what's on your heart? What's on your heart when we are focusing on God while we are focusing on that person? Okay, so quickly just on salvation testimony before we go on. What is a salvation testimony? That's just basically when you say, this is who I was before I got saved, or these are the things that I used to struggle with before I full on committed my life to Jesus. Sometimes people get a fright when they hear, no, you must write down, they practice your testimony for missions, write down, how was your life before you got saved? When did you get saved? How is it now afterwards? Sometimes people get a fright because not all people have one specific date. They maybe have a time in which God was working in their heart and they came to that place of saying, no, I'm clear with this. Just believe. I'm going to start believing and following Jesus with my whole heart. So you guys, salvation testimony is when we testify of that place. How did we come to that place of believing that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life? And then we also, part of that is what has changed in our life. And ladies and gentlemen, I want to say with respect, if there's not a change in your life yet because of Jesus, then you have not yet come to lay down your life to follow him, because there's no way that we can walk in relationship with this life-giving truth, the Son of God, and stay the same. But today there's an opportunity for that as well. So basically it's when we tell how life was before, how we came to that place of following like full on, and what are the things that have started to change. A testimony is never done. it's always like, you know, busy being completed, because the word says, work out your destiny, your salvation, with fear and trembling. So it's the whole time continuing, but we always, there's always a place where we can testify, even though the breakthrough isn't completely there, even though something is not completely done. I'm not with Jesus yet, and I'm so far from perfect, but yet I can testify of things that God has come to change in my life. Then, just the question, why do we testify? Quickly turn to your neighbor and ask them, hoe kom getuige mens? Why do we testify? Hulle moet vraag, ek kyk vir hulle. Okay, Revelations 12:11 says, they speak about the dragon, which is Satan, and how he was going for God's children. And then in Revelations 12:11 it says, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. The message says, and they weren't more in love with themselves. They weren't more focused and obsessed with themselves than other people, than God's kingdom. So they came in by the blood of the Lamb, that's Jesus Christ, the word of their testimony. As we testify, we overcome Satan. We overcome this world. We overcome the challenges in our lives that look like they're completely too big for us to walk in. But for God, all things are possible, and we know that. But what can we actively do to let the kingdom of God come in our lives? We testify. Whether we feel like it or not, whether you feel like all excited or not, when you go to war and it's take for skeet, then you go for it, because you're fighting for a country, you're fighting for your people, you're fighting for what you believe in, whether you feel like it or not. And it's the same with us. Whether we feel like it or not, the whole time there's a battle in the spiritual, there's a battle for us to backslide, to turn away from Jesus. And the enemy's not going to dance in front of you and go, no, no, start worshipping me. For the Christian, he goes, no, man, be rustig. You don't have to go, like, gather with the believers every Sunday. You are loved. You're like, chill, let's just hear us. It's okay. Yes, that's true. God does love us just the way we are, whether we are in church on Sunday or not. But to stay away from that place where God can bring healing, encouragement, and nourishment, that is foolish. And that's why God says, do not forsake the gathering of the saints, coming together in small group, in godly community, so people can encourage you and say, listen, we were praying for your aunt. How's it going now? Come on, we're not stopping. I don't care if you verloor moet. We're going to keep on praying for that salvation. Come on, let's go. So that's the power of us coming together. So we testify to overcome the enemy. The other reason we testify, it's a natural outflow. Quickly think to yourself, if you win the lotto, they tell you, listen, 4713890, that's exactly your number. 42 million is yours. After you scream and shout or fall flat on your back with your beak open, what do you do? What are you going to do when you win the lotto? You're going to tell no one. That's not your culture. That's not your upbringing. No, no, you're reserved, you're a rustige, you're not an extrovert. You're an introvert, so you don't tell people stuff like that. Am I lying? Oh dear, this is a church, but luckily it's just for illustration. Not luckily, fortunately. You guys, when something incredible happens, when you become a father, a mother, what's the first thing you want to do? You want this one says Facebook. You want to phone people. You want to send pictures. You want to say, look at this. Look at this cutie. Maybe the child's face is still like shriveled up like this, and it was, as Auntie Poppy always said, instrument, Baba, but you like, look at this gorgeous thing. This is the most beautiful baby in the world. Because to you, you're excited. You want to share it with people. So guys, that's why we testify. It's a natural outflow of something that we were made that way. As soon as something awesome happens, we celebrate it with who? With the wall? No. We want to celebrate it with people. So it's a natural outflow. It's also a place where, why we testify is to bring glory to God. We were designed to bring Him glory. That's the place where we can operate in peace and in health and in prosperity, is when we bring God glory. That's one of the reasons we testify. Another reason is, like I said earlier, is to encourage one another. Hebrews 10:24-25 says, and let us consider one another. Consider one another. In order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Don't stay away from coming together with godly friends and godly family, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Exhorting one another. One of the ways we can exhort someone, like when you're going through a tough time and someone says to you, hey, it's going to be okay. There is a place for that. Sometimes, like, that's all there is to say, and that was all I needed. It was just one person to say, you know what, it's going to be okay. But other times, you're going through a tough time, and what you need is, you need a testimony. You need to hear from someone else. Listen, I just want to encourage you, like, this is what I struggled with, and God completely delivered me of that, like, whether it's lust, pornography, whatever it is, God uses our testimony to encourage that person to say, whatever he did for me, he can do for you. So that's one of the reasons, is to encourage one another. And then, yeah, people can disagree on the Bible. Like, people can say, no, but I don't believe in the Bible. And that's fine, because God has given each one of us a free choice. But when I tell them that I've been healed of something, or I tell them a story of what happened, then they can't say, but that's not true. So God uses testimony also just to reach out to hardened hearts, and hearts that are just have lost hope. Then I've got a question. Do you get, are there, the next slide is just, can one testimony be more significant than another? Do you get bigger testimonies and more powerful testimonies, and slightly like chiller, it was smaller testimonies? What do you think? The tip to help you, the second question is, can the one glass of water, can this bottle of water, the water inside here, can this be, is there an option at all for this to be a little less wet than this water? Is it an option? No. Okay. Because water is wet, you can't change it. Now the enemy comes to lie. He says, yo, you don't have a hectic testimony. You don't have this and this in your BC days, before Christ days. Where are you going to? No, don't share your testimony. Oh, hello. Those are lies. Why do I say it's a lie? What's the miracle part of your testimony? What's the part that brings God glory? The miracle part is that Jesus said, we're going to get to it now, but Jesus also said, blessed are you because man has not revealed this to you. When he asked the disciple, who do you say? And he said, you are the Son of God. And he said, you are blessed. Why? Because God has revealed this truth to you. So the testimony, the incredible part, the miracle part of my salvation is the fact that God supernaturally came to open up my eyes to believe in a man that I've never seen, that at that stage I've never heard, that 2,000 years ago he hanged on a cross naked for me, but I'm going to believe and lay down my whole life because somebody tells me this. Hi, listen, there's somebody. You're actually inherently very wrong and bad, and if you die, you're going to hell. That's a place with lots of flames and fire. And because I'm telling you this, you must turn the other way to someone else. His name is Jesus. Because if you das klom vuur, das swaar, you're going to die. If somebody comes up and tells you that, you can't realize that's the truth unless the Holy Spirit comes to open up your eyes to say, listen, there's heaven and there's hell, but I did not make hell for you, says God. He said, I made it for the enemy and his followers. I made heaven for you. But it takes a miracle. It takes the Spirit of God to open up your eyes to go, but that's the truth. Wait a minute. That's the truth. I remember full well when I was then at 6 or 7, there was an outreach at my high school. And the woman was giving a testimony. And at the end, she said, those of you who want to make Jesus the Lord of your life, you must stick up your hand. And we were standing there with our eyes closed, and I was thinking, you can't stick up your hand because you're Christian already. People are going to ask you, were you Hindu? Why are you sticking up your hand? And so the enemy was just pumping all these thoughts into my head, why I must not put up my hand for Jesus. And it went on and on like that. And I was really struggling with friends at that stage. I had like no friends, maybe one. And then he said, what are they going to think about you? And who of you remember when you're 14, you're obsessed, praise God, Jesus comes to deliver you, of what other people think of you. And then the next moment, I hear my older sister's voice, which I now realize, oh, that was the Holy Spirit reminding me. What do we say? Holy Spirit uses mostly our people's voices to remind us. Other times he speaks to us in our heart, and it sounds like your own thought. But a lot of times he uses the stories that other people tell us. And I realize now, like doctrinally wise, the Holy Spirit reminded me of a testimony of my sister, my eldest sister. And what she said to me one day is, Mariette, when you are at school, you worry not, you don't worry at all what those other people think about you. Because after school, you're never going to see them again. And I remember standing there thinking, just hearing this voice suddenly after, I don't know how long my sister told, like how long before that. And I stuck up my hand and I said, Jesus, I believe in you. But this woman is asking, who wants to make Jesus the Lord of their life, the King of their life? And I remember just knowing, I believe in him, but he's not the King and the ultimate Lord of my life. And I stuck up my hand and I said, Jesus, I choose you. I choose this. So that which I just told you now, that's a part of my salvation testimony. It goes on. But sometimes God will, I'll be in a situation, I realize, okay, wait, I must share this now for this person. This is what they need to hear at this stage, because the Holy Spirit is just imprinting, like just quickly, just reminding me. Like how the Holy Spirit reminds us. It's not like a scary voice coming from the sky saying, you will now share this testimony. It's just a thought that pops into your mind. It says, and suddenly I see myself there, and the fight that there was between those, the voices saying, what are they going to think? And hearing my sister saying that, and then I will share that. So the significant and insignificant testimony lie we're exposing now. So yes, things change. God has brought a lot of healing in my life, like not just physical, like emotional, many things, healing from rejection, many things. But the miracle part of the testimony, the reason I share it is because it's a miracle. It's supernatural. It was by God's Spirit that I, that day, knew to say, yes, Jesus is Lord. It's by God's Spirit that our eyes open up to see the truth. And that's why each testimony glorifies Jesus, and each testimony that we share of our salvation gives other people hope. So they, when we say, no, I don't have a hectic testimony, or I'm not going to share at the outreach, pick her, we know, we believe the lie that God cannot use my testimony. And when I was in Bible school in my first year, we were doing a part of your testimony, and they said, okay, write down how your life was before when you got saved and how it's afterwards. And that's before the Lord brought to remembrance to me that day when I gave my life to him when I was 14 or 15. And I stick up my hand and I say to Jaco Prinsloo, who's now the pastor in London, Jaco, what if you don't have hectic BC days, like hectic days like before, you know, you got saved? And he says, Mariette, don't let the devil lie to you. You do have a testimony. And I look at him and I was so offended. And I bumped the elbow of the guy next to me, my buddy Ian, and I'm like, what does he know about my life? What can he now come and say this nonsense to me? And then I remember afterwards thinking, but God, I trust this man. Like, I know this man knows you. The fruit of his life is that he knows you. He leads people to Christ at the bus stop during his, in between his classes the whole time. And then I wrestled with God and I say to him, you can't be born a reborn. No one on earth can be born a reborn Christian. You can only be born, and then the reborn part comes later, as scripture says, born of water and of spirit. So the natural water breaking birth, everybody happens, but the spiritual birth, when we get reborn, that's a choice. And that's when I was wrestling with God and how he came to remind me of my testimony. What happened? When did I get spiritual? Then you reminded me of that standard six, that day in standard six at high school. That is how God brought that remembrance to me. I was struggling, just wrestling with God. So I want to encourage you guys to go home and to wrestle with God and say, but God, come and remind me where I was, like in the different areas of my life, before you came and you started to bring healing, before you came and you started to bring truth in that area, my fuzzy thinking, maybe, you know, different things. But God knows what your testimony is. He knows what he's done. And sometimes we forget that. So I want to challenge you to go home and to go, God, come and remind me of the many things that you have done in my life, because I want to celebrate it and I want to encourage other people with your faithfulness. Sometimes we need to testify. Why? To encourage ourselves. Sometimes I have to move now from Paul to Stellenbosch, and Stellenbosch caters for grown-up families and students. The in-between, like young working gap, there's not a lot of space. So my throat was starting to be like, then I realized, but God, I've got the coolest moving, like foreseeing, like testimonies, provision for moving. I'm like embarrassed that I'm now like nervous about this. And then I had to share my testimony with people of how he gave me places that were like super affordable and super cool. and in like miraculous timing as well, so that I could be encouraged. So go home and go ask God, God, come and remind me of your faithfulness, and go write it down, make little notes. God says, build memorials so that you can be encouraged, that your friends and your people can be encouraged when they walk past that thing against the wall. What's this picture? Oh, that's the time God delivered me of this. That's the time God healed me of this. That's the time he did this in Oprah's life. So we also testify to encourage ourselves. And then, yeah, just to end off, of my last, almost in closing, what keeps us from testifying? What keeps our hands like this? We've spoken about some of it, but the first one is, I want to mention, is that maybe you haven't found that pearl of great price yet. Because that's possible. Sometimes when somebody hasn't received Jesus as Savior yet, they do believe that there's heaven and hell, but they don't know him as a Savior yet. They don't testify. Because God says in his word, and this is so true, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls, who when he found one pearl of great price, when he found this one fabulous price, he went and sold everything he had. Like the whole town knew that he sold everything. A friend of mine, Nicholas Lopes, said they farm in Darling, and about 3 or 4 years ago, he was spending time with God, and the Lord said to him, you will not sell the wheat, the quiring, till it reaches this price per ton. And he was like, Holy Spirit, maybe I'm making this up. This is like a very specific price you're giving to me, and it's a very high price. It hasn't been that high in quite a while. And he prays, he says, Lord, if this is the price, will you confirm it and tell it to my wife? So my friend, my roommate from a trick, she spends time with God, and she prays, and she asks, Lord, what is this price that you must through me confirm? She doesn't know the price. And the Lord writes it down. She writes it down. She takes it to her husband, and he's like, okay, we're really going to have to wait till it's this price, because this is the price that the Holy Spirit has given to me. So after a while, that price is never reached. That season passes, and they can keep the wheat, but you can't keep that a secret if you are a farmer and you are not selling your wheat, because you have to sell other things for the cash flow, for everything to work out. So later, the whole contray knows about this crazy Christian dude that says that God has given him a price and he must not sell until it reaches that price. And you know, God, sometimes he does speak to you clearly, but often he tests you. He just wants to see, do you believe me? Do you believe that I'm faithful and I'm true and that I'm going to come through on my word? So this man loves Jesus, so God gave him quite an opportunity to show to the Lord his faith, because for quite a while it didn't come. And then, how long can wheat, can you store it before it like goes bad? The bridge, like 2-3 years. Because I don't want to lie, but like I think almost another season passed, and he had so much doubt, and he had so much godly people tell him, listen, just sell it. Just sell it. Like, we really need to do this, because it's not good for like your farm, the business. You're putting a lot of pressure on your father, on your dad who's farming with you. You're putting pressure on everybody. Just sell it. Like, God won't be angry, man. Because you guys, a lot of the time when God places something in your heart, a calling, a job, a project, not the unbelievers, the people in, like close to you, are going to come and go, listen, I really love you, and that's why I want to tell you, just marry this bloke, man. Just rather get married at 51 and marry this man than ever maybe getting married. And, you know, just compromise. God doesn't see it as compromise. Or maybe someone's going to come and say, no, man, did you really hear? But God will still love you, just using scripture, using godly words to encourage you to go the other direction of Jesus. But then we must just like stick to our guns, and we stick to the fellowship, because in that fellowship there are other saints, there are other children of God that's going to say, come on, friend, I'm keeping you accountable. We're running this race to the end. You and me, we're not alone. Come. So finally, at a stage when it like suddenly peaked, I think it's now 3-4 years ago, it suddenly peaked this price, and then his agent and the people around him that love him were like, this is really good. Just take it. Just take it. This is great. This is the closest it's ever going to come to that. And Nicholas said, I will not dishonor my Lord in such a way. I will not turn away from God and not believe him. I will not say that he's an unfaithful God by doing this. I will not turn from my promise to God saying that I will wait on you for this. Even though it was difficult for him, even though it was a really long time, and then suddenly what happened, it went exactly to that price. Shortly after, they say, please sell it now, it's never going to get higher. It went higher, and it went to the exact price in Raivat, the whole of that Darling area. people glorifying God, and even the people that weren't glorifying, something stirred in their heart saying, could this be real? Could God still be speaking? And could he answer? And can this normal, gewone boer man, if he hears God's voice and it brings him such glory, maybe I can do that too. Because that's what a testimony does. It gives hope, it inspires, and it encourages, and it challenges us to say, come on, wait. I want to run for Jesus like this man is running for Jesus. So what keeps us from testifying? Sometimes we just haven't come to that place yet of receiving that living water. So that's why you're not telling about it. And something else is sometimes we're just ignorant. Sometimes we don't testify, not because we're like bad Christians or we haven't found the pearl of great price. Sometimes we're just ignorant. God says in Hosea 4:6, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. So sometimes we just don't realize that when we're in that conversation, we must wait on the Holy Spirit. He's God, like he knows what he wants to impart. You must just wait to hear. Sometimes we don't testify because fear of man. Proverbs 29:25 says, the fear of man lays a snare. It's a fang plek. Like he's waiting for you to fall, fear of man. But whoever trusts in the Lord is safe. You guys, we cannot fear God and man at the same time. It's impossible. You cannot serve two masters at the same time. So today I want to encourage you. How do we get rid of fear of man? It's not a stick that says, you don't hit yourself and say, I will fear God more. I will fear God more. It's the same way we get life in every area of our heart and of our world. We repent. We say, God, I realize I've got such a fear of man. Sometimes I've got an opportunity to invite somebody to church, to a small group. Sometimes I have an opportunity to share a testimony, and I don't because what if they think funny of me? Or how's it going to look if I share this now? Or I'm comfortable sharing with this one, but this like trendy wuch or person, I know they're a little bit irritated with people that like are outspoken for Jesus. So maybe, you know, what if the third person, that's fear of man. You're actually bowing before man and you're saying, I will not bow before you, God, in this moment. In this moment where I have to choose between obeying you and glorifying you and keeping quiet and denying you before men, because clearly the Holy Spirit is tagging on your heart saying, invite this person, give this word of encouragement. You're saying, no, I will fear man in this instant. And this is a harsh word, but you guys, not spanking your child, you're going to get a brat that's going to ruin their life when they're grown up. So it's really important for us to hear that because of God's love. But today he gives us an opportunity. He says, come and repent for fearing man and come and trust me so that you can be safe. That's my heart for you as your father. Come to me so you can be safe. Come in. So today we're going to give an opportunity just to repent, to say, Lord, I want to repent from fearing man. I want to fear you. I want to be safe, because that's what happens when we fear God. We are safe. Then something else what keeps us from testifying is sometimes we're just distracted. Sometimes you're chatting and you're having a great time and your heart is actually just by accident not focused on the Holy Spirit because you're distracted. In Hebrews 12:1 is beautiful where God encourages, he says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. It doesn't say, please start the race. Everybody that starts the race, that starts following Jesus, woo, you make it. No. It says, run with endurance, because following Jesus till the very end, that's going to give you the price of eternal life, is saying yes to Jesus to the very end. And that's why it's so encouraging for me. Those men, those 21 young men in their orange overalls that were beheaded because of their faith in Jesus, they proclaimed Jesus till the end. The brother of the one sent out a video to us as saying, didn't like say you horrible this and this and this, because this man also serves God. So his response was, I want to thank you that you gave my brother the opportunity on a video that was going to reach many, many lives to proclaim, to testify that Jesus is Lord. That was his reaction. Thank you. Thank you that you gave that to my brother, because this man's heart is knitted. It's close to Jesus, and all this man wants to do is for his life and his family life to scream out and sing out and show Jesus Christ is Lord. So sometimes we get distracted, But that's fine. We can also just repent from that and go back and say, Jesus, I just want to focus my eyes on you again. I want to run the race for you. Because we're all running a race. We just have the opportunity of running the race for my neighbor's sake. What do they think about my car, my house, my clothing, what I look like? Or the race to say, what does the cloud of witnesses say? What does Jesus say? What are the angels saying when I treat this person like this, when I treat them like this, when I testify? The lie that your testimony is not big or powerful or extravagant in Matthew 16, verse 15 to 17. Jesus said, but what about you, he asked. What do you say? Who do you say I am? Simon Peter answered, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Jesus replies, he says, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. Listen to this. Jesus says to him, he's blessed. Why? Because God revealed it to him. He didn't say, yes, you're blessed, because you have now just acknowledged that I am the Messiah, and that is how your ticket in. He says, blessed are you, because God has just revealed this to you. That's why the miracle part of our testimony is not the things that have changed. Yes, those things are encouraging to other people when we stop with things that lead to death and we start with things that lead to life. Yes, that's powerful. But the miraculous part is when we in our hearts made a shift, turning away from the world and Satan, turning to Jesus, the outflow did change. But the outflow, whether it was this way or that way, that is not the miracle. The miracle is saying yes to Jesus. And that's why it's a lie that says that you there are less and more powerful testimonies. And then the very last point I just want to share with regards to testifying. It's just a question. Who or what gives us the ability to testify? Is it our personality? Ooh, she's an extrovert. You have to testify a lot. God expects this of you, but not of her because she doesn't like speaking to people that much, so it's not expected of her. Is it our upbringing? No, I didn't grow up. You speak about stuff like that openly? Or No. So God will excuse me. I don't have to. I don't have to pay the price. I don't have to be excited about Jesus or testify of him because I wasn't taught that way. Culture? No. In our culture here in South Africa, we speak about the rugby, about the weather. We speak death over our nation when something happens in Parliament. That's our culture. No, we don't say, oh, but there's hope in Jesus. Yeah, you can go crazy, but I'm not going to speak death over my country because I serve Jesus. And Jesus says, whatever you sow, you will reap. It's a word for some of you here today. It's challenging, but you guys, God does give us the grace to in difficult times to say, I will speak life and I will pray for my leaders and I will pray for this country. The question is what mobilizes us to testify. Here's the great news. Acts 1 verse 8 says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you to do what? And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, all of Judea, Samaria, and to the end of the earth. In Tableview, in Globokstrand, in Cape Town, in Montague, in Joburg, in Taiwan, in India, in Malawi, in America, on my Facebook, on my Twitter, on my phone when I message someone, SMS when I phone. God says, when you receive my Spirit, in all those places, on all those platforms, you will receive power to be a witness for me. So sometimes we maybe have not yet just been filled up with the Spirit of God. And that is why he says, come and receive my helper so that you can have boldness and power to be my witness. And it's so cool because the meaning of the Greek word in the Bible where they said, you will receive power to be my witness, that word power is dunamis. It's Greek and loosely the word refers to strength, power, or ability. And here's the cool part. It's the root word of our English words, dynamite, dynamo, and dynamic. Those words come from that word, dynamite. Like, this is a big hall, and how much dynamite do you need for this to explode? Not a big, large amount, not big, like little bit. That's the power, God says, we will receive when we are baptized and filled up with his Holy Spirit to be a witness for him. Yes, I was bold for him before I was filled with the Holy Spirit because I remember when I was 14 or 15, I read in Acts where it said that if you use the Lord's name in vain, in Afrikaans it says, "Hy sal jou nie ongestraf laat nie." You will not leave you unpunished. And I remember saying to people when they blaspheme, like, I got a fright, and I would say to them, please don't blaspheme, because now I'm like 14, and because God says, like, He's not going to leave you unpunished. And you guys, I don't remember one time that somebody was offended with me or upset with me ever when I just quoted out of humble, like, humility and love for my Savior's name, that scripture. Because a lot of times, like, we don't speak because of fear of man, because of lies telling us, what will they think? What if they understand you incorrectly? What if it's twisted and they don't understand the right way? But then I said to God, I don't understand. Back in first year Bible school, why did I okay, cool, I got saved 14, 15. That's when I, like, completely, like, gave over to you. But why did I preach at Paul Gymnasium in front of 1,200 kids when I was 17, not a matric, coming from a background of not having friends? That doesn't make sense. And why did I do this and this? And why did I write in big topics on the back of my suitcase when everybody was writing billabong and smile with an S, like a certain style? Why did I write addicted to Jesus? And then the Holy Spirit took me back to a camp in Standard 8, end of the camp. We were worshiping and I spontaneously got filled with the Holy Spirit. I didn't know that was happening. I remember that night the teacher being in tears saying, she's never seen kids worship like this before. And I went to her and I just said to everybody, that was the coolest when we were singing. It's a little CD player key. We were just hungry for God and the Holy Spirit came and filled us up. And I just remember saying to people how that was, like, the most amazing, like, singing and dancing for Jesus ever. It felt like I was filled with thousands of tiny cream soda bubbles. That's the only vocab I had at that stage to explain it. And God showed me after that how I got extreme boldness just where I went to testify of God. So today, just if I can ask you to please stand, as we just end off, I want to say that God's heart's desire is for our arms to be open away from our chest so that through us, He can just encourage people, give them life, because that's why Jesus died on the cross. It's not for us to have big or small churches. It's not for us to have Christianity to tick off on a census form or on your Facebook form. It's so that people can have life. Because Jesus says in John 10, verse 10, I came, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, and that is what he does. But I come so that you can have life and you can have it in abundance. So that's God's heart's desire through each one of us standing right here, through us. First, He wants to give us life, but then through us, He wants to give other people life. And sometimes you're sitting with a colleague, or you're sitting with a family member, or you're sitting at a birthday party or a Sunday lunch, and you're not the visiting speaker, but you have a relationship with them, and you've got the Lord's voice wanting to give you a testimony to give them. And we don't know if we are the last opportunity to speak life and give the option of choosing Jesus for that person that they will ever know. But God does know, and the pressure's not on us to run around, testify like crazy people. All God is asking is, when I speak, when I drop it into your heart, will you be willing? Will you fear me and love that person enough that you will share this testimony with them, that you will invite them to me? That's God's question today. So just while we close our eyes, let's pray. Oh, Jesus, Lord. You'll be excited to realize, God, that you don't get angry and disappointed with us, God. But thank you, God, that you get excited, God, because you know of the opportunities that you're going to still give us, God. And you're excited for us to be mobilized, Father, to say yes for those opportunities, to say yes for your Spirit, to minister through us, God. Oh, thank you for the examples that you've given us in Scripture and also around us still today of people that say, they're not going to compromise. They're going to wait for the wheat price, God. Because that in itself is a testimony in God. That's our heart's desires, to be testimonies. And for testimonies and stories, true stories, to flow from our lips that encourage people, that don't make them negative and more worried about the crime in this country and stuff. And we want the stories that come from our lips to bring people such hope and encouragement through you, Jesus. Because that's what you do by your Spirit. We just do the talking, Father, with our mouth, but your Spirit comes to breathe life over people. So if you hear this morning and you realize that you want your mouth to be just touched by God and anointed by God, your heart, the mouth of your heart, to start speaking life and just sharing testimonies, sharing stories that will encourage and give other people hope, please raise your hand just as a sign to God. And this morning, if you want to say to God, God, I realize here and there, sometimes I don't hear your, I didn't listen out for your voice to testify, but I want to say I'm sorry, God, that I wasn't focusing on you, God. I want to focus so specifically on your voice, God, every day, at work, Lord, at social, at home, every day. If you hear and you want to say, Jesus, I want my mouth to be open, just you can raise, lower your hand again when you raise it, but just raise a hand just as a sign to God. Thank you for those hands. Thank you for those hands. I see those hands and God sees those hands. Lord Jesus, I want to pray for each person that has raised their hands, and I want to come and speak a blessing over each person here. And I want to say, God, thank you. You see their heart's desire is to bring Jesus glory, God, is to run the race with the mouth, God, proclaiming, make way, prepare the way for the King that is coming. Prepare the way for the King that is coming, God. I come and declare it over these people. Thank you for your anointing, Father, that breaks yokes, that opens up mouths, Lord. And by their testimonies and lives, God, these people will declare the King is coming, and other people will come in alignment because of their testimonies. In Jesus' name, I proclaim it over them. If you're here this morning and you realize sometimes you struggle with the fear of man instead of fearing God, will you just raise your hand to God just to say, I want to repent from that? If you sometimes realize, while every eye is closed, that sometimes you fear men more than you fear God, just quickly raise your hand. God, we come in repentance. You see our hands, Lord. We come and repent for the times we bow down before man instead of before you. And we say, God, our heart's desire is to overflow, God, with glory that we receive from you, love that we receive from you as we fear your name. Thank you, God, for your forgiveness. Thank you for your faithfulness. And then if there's anybody here and you realize, sure, you have not been baptized, filled up with God's Spirit, and you'd like to be filled up with His Spirit, you're welcome to come just after the service, and so we can just pray for you. But Lord, I just want to come and pronounce a blessing for them on each person here, God. You see every heart, you see every hand. And I speak to these through their mouths and their spiritual mouths, and I declare, God, their ears are open, God, to hear from you, and their mouths are open, God, to speak, Father, exactly what your Spirit tells them, Father. And thank you, Father, that your goodness leads us to repentance, nothing else. We honor you, Lord. We give you all glory and all praise, Father, in Jesus' name. All God's people says, amen. Thank you so much for your time, guys. If there's anybody that needs any prayer, whether it's healing or anything, we'd love to anoint you and pray with you. God is faithful. I remember last time, God healed, two people's knees. God is really faithful. So any prayer that you need, whether it's for a child, a family member, anybody, we'd love to pray with you. And if you'd like to be filled up with God's Spirit, be baptized with His Spirit, you're also welcome to come to the front. Thank you.